crimson at the tips. "Someone do something!" Isabel shifted around restlessly in her chair. "It's fine," Kian rasped. "Barely a scratch."
"Barely a scratch,"
she repeated, her voice sounding numb with shock as she turned to stare at Theodore.
"Do I rip open Wallace's neck every time you touch her?"
Theodore gave her a strained smile.
"I barely touched him."
Theodore's scent was growing more and more acidic by the second, his eyes flashing with a warning precursor of darkness. Moses was seconds away from snapping at Kaelin that he needed to go to his brother, but Isabel seemed to soften at the last second.
"I'm worried about you too, Theo,"
she whispered. He just stared back at her, like he was going to demand she prove it. But then he seemed to shrug off the compulsion, shaking out his arms until his talons retreated into blood-stained nails. Despite the situation, Moses felt a pang of pride. The sheer amount of effort it took to pull back from the brink like that was unbelievable. But there wasn't a single line of strain on Theodore's face.
"A safe word is necessary for playing with half-bonded or fully bonded alphas."
Kaelin drew the attention of the room easily as he surveyed them.
"Regardless of personal tastes and proclivities, we tend to be aggressive when our emotions are heightened. And where bonds are concerned, mated alphas are known to be dangerously territorial and possessive. If I had foreseen..."
He paused for a moment, his discerning gaze landing on Kian.
"Things progressing so suddenly, I would have arranged to speak with Isabel privately so that she could be better prepared."
"It really wasn't that shocking,"
Isabel murmured weakly, her cheeks stained bright red. She had found a seat close to the window, as far as she could get from all of them. Nico and Killian were closest to her, both of them angled toward the other alphas as though they might need to jump up and protect her.
"You quite literally went into shock afterwards," Moses snapped,
immediately regretting his sharp tone. But she didn't glare at him or tense her posture. She just tossed him a quiet, thoughtful look, which was so much worse. It made him feel like she was peering right through him, tasting his emotions, and silently categorizing his thoughts. He did a quick mental check to see what he was putting out there, but he wasn't feeling anything too serious or embarrassing. Maybe he was in shock as well.
"A safe word is non-negotiable," Mikkel rumbled. "I suggest the traffic light system. Green for when you're good, yellow for when you're nearing your limit, and red to stop everything immediately without repercussions. How does that sound?"
Good. Green?
Mikkel and Kaelin both smiled, Mikkel flexing his hands like he suddenly wanted to grab her and squeeze her cheeks and say that she was disgustingly adorable, using her safe word in normal conversation. Or maybe Moses was projecting. Ugh, he made himself want to vomit.
"I have a rule of my own,"
Kaelin announced, causing Isabel's brows to jump up in surprise. He continued,
"I know Kian and Moses, and even while Moses might not be the friendliest, Alpha, neither of them would treat you badly after a sexual encounter, which means you robbed them of the ability to give you the proper aftercare you needed."
His voice grew softer, more like a graveled purr. "You ran to the climbing room because I take care of you in there. Isn't that right, princess?" Isabel nodded, looking both entranced and confused.
"Kian and Moses would have taken care of you in the same way. Isn't that right?"
His amber eyes were suddenly boring into Moses and Kian.
"Obviously."
Kian spoke lowly, the blood finally ceasing its attempts to escape his fingers. He was the only one, other than Killian and Oscar, who didn't seem to have calmed down at least a little bit. Oscar was frightfully quiet, like a predator stalking along the edges of a battlefield, waiting for them all to wear each other down before he pounced and feasted. Killian just seemed generally unhappy with everything that was happening. They were all watching him, Moses realized, waiting for his answer.
I think Kian cared more than I did about that, he admitted. I would have taken care of her, but I think he needed to.
Aftercare is important for both parties, Mikkel agreed quietly.
Let's make things perfectly clear.
Kaelin sighed, like he hated what he was about to say.
If you're going to play hard,
he was directing his words to Isabel, who swallowed.
Then you're going to crash hard. Nobody is allowed to touch you until you can assure us that you won't be running away from aftercare and won't bury your own needs. It's not safe. If you're willing to ignore your needs afterwards, then you might also ignore your needs during and refrain from using your safe word, which is unacceptable.
He watched her, like he was waiting for her to verbally agree, but she seemed too overwhelmed.
Nod if you understand.
Mikkel spoke up, and she quickly jerked her head up and down a few times.
Good.
Mikkel stopped by her chair, his hand landing on top of her head. He bent closer to her, whispering something that sounded like, brave girl. She closed her eyes, a slight tremor traveling through her body that made Moses want to toss her over the nearest table and aggressively interrogate her until he knew every single word that made her tremble like that. His feelings were getting out of hand. Was this what Theodore felt like? It was impossible to tell with his brother. Oscar definitely felt it. It was written into every crease around his frowning mouth. His dark eyes tracked anyone who even blinked in Isabel's direction. And the others? He swallowed back a frustrated groan, scrubbing a hand down his face. This was impossible. He needed to get a handle on it. They couldn't all have her. And if she was going to choose any of them, it wasn't going to be him. It was going to be his brother. Even though Moses kissed her first. And an inch of his cock was inside her first.
Yeah, nice one, dickhead, because that counts.
He had no chance. She didn't want him to be her first kiss, and the fact that he almost lost both their virginities in a closet in the back of a full classroom was exactly why she was going to pick Theodore. Or anyone else. Hell, she would probably pick Mikkel before she picked Moses.
Chapter 16. The Guilty Finger Points First. Isabel slipped out from beneath Mikkel's steadying touch, approaching Kian. He watched with a heavy, guarded stare that made her want to turn tail and run again. But she forced herself to step between his legs as he shifted upright, his eyes flicking over her face in question. The wounds on his neck were now just red lines, but blood was soaking his shirt, so she kept her chest away from his as she wrapped her arms around his neck, eyes fluttering closed as his scent washed over her, still mixed with her own heady syrup.
Sorry, she mumbled. He gripped her hips, and Isabel stiffened, swallowing back a whimper as her body chose that moment to recall the feeling of him and Moses forcing her down over the crystal by her hips. A graveled sound vibrated out of Kian's chest, and she quickly skipped away, hurrying over to Moses. She fell clumsily into him more than anything, but he caught her easily, standing as she reached his chair. He had said that Kian was the one who needed to take care of her, but he pulled her tight against his body, bowing her back slightly as he inhaled deeply against her neck, his hands tight on her waist.
Forgiven,
he rumbled.
But just this once.
She pulled back, giving him a searching look, which he turned away from. She didn't understand him at all.
Well, Mikkel cleared his throat. It looks like my session is over. Does anyone have a change of shirt for Kian? He can't leave looking like that. On it.
Miko pulled a shirt and a water bottle out of his bag, tossing both to Kian, who tugged the bloodied shirt over his head and poured water onto a clean section of it, using that to wipe away the blood from his neck. He didn't look at Theodore, and Theodore didn't apologize. Isabel blinked at the second nipple piercing Kian had acquired at some point, realizing his ink had spread further again. It practically covered his chest and his sides. She tore her attention away when she felt eyes burning into the side of her face. Gabriel. He had his head tilted, his russet gaze open and curious, not his usual cold detachment. After her encounter with him, hadn't she also avoided him? Swallowing, she inched his way, watching the hint of amusement that sparked to life in his expression.
Me too?
He guessed, though there was a slightly ironic or sarcastic note to his voice. She hovered by his knees, wondering how to proceed. He would probably prefer she didn't try to hug him. He opened one of his hands and parted his legs, so she stepped closer, her arms twining around his neck as his hands pushed beneath her loose top, settling against the bare skin of her lower back.
I thought you didn't like touching, she whispered into his skin.
You smell like other people, he rumbled back. It's infuriating. We smell fucking amazing. Don't even pretend we don't.
Kian said, examining his fingernails. He was starting to sound a little more like himself.
Anything else you need to share with the group, doll?
Isabel pulled back from Gabriel, shaking her head.
No.
She met Theodore's stormy stare, and he smiled slightly, like he had won some kind of competition. Maybe he had. She had been sexual with him, but she hadn't run away from him.
I have to go see my father, she announced, suddenly full of tension again. I don't think I can wait until tonight. I feel too overloaded. I just want to get one thing off my plate.
Then let's go.
Mikkel strode for the elevator, barking over his shoulder.
Everyone, get your shit together before next period. The next person to start a fight will have me to deal with. And clean all the blood off the floor before you leave.
Isabel stared at his back, her brows twitching up as he called the elevator. She moved to his side, smoothing her shirt down nervously.
You don't smell like anything, he reassured her, his attention shrewd as they stepped into the elevator.
He leaned against the sidewall, crossing his arms, his eyes dipping from the top of her shirt to her hips and back up again.
They smell like you marked them as much as possible.
Is that a thing?
That is most definitely a thing. Leaving behind your scent and essence on your mate is a type of claiming.
She felt her forehead scrunching up and quickly turned her eyes to the floor.
No,
Mikkel said calmly.
Tell me.
The elevator dinged open and they both stepped into the hallway, but he gave a minute shake of his head when she moved to step toward her father's apartment.
She cringed.
It's not appropriate.
We're past appropriate. Tell me what you were thinking.
Just that they didn't do the same. They actually made a point not to.
As they should.
Mikkel nodded.
You have 8 other mates, and even aside from that fact, if one of them had tried to claim you in any sort of way in front of the other, we might be looking at a far messier situation right now. Likely a bloody mess. And blood can be hard to hide in a place with a camera around every corner. Are you upset that they didn't?
Upset?
She shook her head.
I would have been upset if they didn't let me do what I did. But they encouraged it.
They tried to take care of you, pet.
He raised a hand, his fingers brushing beneath her chin, barely even a touch, before he dropped his hand.
Let's get this over and done with.
He nodded down the hallway.
You can just wait outside if you want,
she said, moving to the door of her father's apartment.
She could already hear his voice booming from within, and it sent a tremor of apprehension down her spine. But she had to do this. For her mother.
Not a chance,
Mikhail muttered, reaching past her to knock briskly on the door.
You're never going to be alone with him again.
His body was close behind hers, but as soon as the door handle turned, he melted a few steps away, standing slightly off to the side.
Isabel?
Bron Carter filled the doorway, a look of annoyance in his face as he became momentarily distracted by his phone.
You've got it, Stan,
he thundered enthusiastically.
I'll have Bellamy email you right now, and we'll get this little mess all cleared up, eh? Great.
He hung up the phone, the annoyance in his face creasing deeper.
What are you doing here?
He only seemed to notice Mikhail then, and most of the annoyance filtered out of his expression.
Professor Easton, what a pleasure.
He flung the door open, motioning them inside.
What brings you both here? Shouldn't you be in class right now, Isabel?
This is more important, she managed to get out, the giant ball of anxiety in her throat making it difficult to speak. There's something I need to ask you.
By all means.
He rocked back on his heels, folding his meaty arms and setting his jaw in a warning flex.
I'm at your disposal.
He wasn't even trying to hide his sarcasm in front of Mikhail. But then again, he probably expected Mikhail to share his disdain. I need to know what happened to Mom. Her father's thick brows drew down, heavy over his eyes.
That's a conversation for private family time, Isabel. Come back at the time we have scheduled. No guests. No offense, Professor Easton, but it's just so rare that I get alone time with my daughter, her being so famous now.
His attention flicked up to Mikhail for a moment, seeming a little confused over the other man's continued silence. No. Isabel forced her eyes up to her father's, flinching at the wave of his rage as it swept over her, threatening to send her to her knees. I'm free now. We can meet now. He stared at her for a moment, calculating. And then he fell back another step, motioning for them both to take a seat on one of the couches facing the floor-to-ceiling windows that looked over the front of the academy. His assistant walked in from the other room, holding a tablet in one hand and a phone in the other. She paused when she spotted Mikhail, her eyes going wide before she quickly turned and left the room again, closing the door quietly behind her.
Your mother had a heart attack,
Bron announced, rounding the couches to stand by the window and look down on Isabel. Mikhail had stayed behind the couch, right behind Isabel, and Bron glanced to the other alpha, his stare growing hard, with a hint of curiosity peeking through.
Is there something I can help you with, Professor? Yes, actually.
Mikhail spoke formally, his tone detached.
But my issue can wait. Please, continue.
The hint of alpha command in his voice had Isabel almost turning around in surprise, but she managed to keep her focus on her father. What was she doing? Isabel pressed. Where was she? Were you with her?
I was there,
Bron confirmed, easing down into an armchair. The same grief Isabel had felt the day he had told her about her mother, edging past the rage he was pushing out at her. She resisted the urge to pull down her walls and take it all from him, the way she had been taught. I deserve to know what happened. She tried to sound unyielding and unafraid, but she was pretty sure it had come out sounding more like a question.
I know you think it's my fault.
Bron turned away from her, looking out the window, his jaw tensing again.
You are always so much weaker than Karen. She could handle me. She didn't die because she was leveling me out. She died because she weakened herself. She stopped taking her medication.
What medication? Isabel frowned, unsure how to react to her father actually talking to her instead of dismissing her completely.
He stood and walked to where his soft leather briefcase was sitting on the hall table. He pulled a small white bottle from inside and brought it over to his chair, sinking down again as he smacked the bottle onto the coffee table before him.
"The surrogate pills,"
he said.
"They were keeping her alive, along with me."
Surrogate? Isabel stuttered.
"God, you really can be stupid, Isabel."
He pinched his nose, annoyance now overtaking his tendrils of grief. Behind her, Mikkel let out a low sound of warning, but Braun didn't seem to hear it. It was almost as though he had forgotten the presence of the other Alpha altogether.
"Mom wasn't your mate?" Isabel asked, something like fear choking up the back of her throat.
"Her mate was my brother. He was her anchor."
Braun leveled Isabel with a tired look.
"He died, and I offered to help. I'd heard about the pills, but they weren't available in the settlements. Hell, the people in the settlements still don't know about them. I pretended she was my mate. Otherwise, they never would have issued the pills to me. It was simple enough, since we have a similar eye color. They issued the pills on the basis that I would be traveling most of the year for work, and she would be home alone. Between me and the pills, she survived."
Isabel's mind was spinning, her eyes fixed to the little white bottle. "What are they?"
"Surrogate pills. Do you listen, girl?"
He snapped his fingers in front of her face.
"They stop the bond side effects and sustain people when their bonds aren't available."
The anger rose within her so swiftly, she spluttered for a moment before the words burst out of her.
"Why didn't you give them to me?"
"I've been carrying them around in case you need them."
He rolled his eyes like she was being overly dramatic.
"Your need for a surrogate has brought you more attention and screen time than any plan I could have possibly come up with. I would have stepped in if the situation had become dire, or if none of your little boyfriends offered to help."
"That's fucked up."
She stared at him, shocked into disbelief.
"Is that what you did to Mom? You stopped giving her pills?"
"Accuse me of killing Karen Carter one more time. I dare you,"
he growled, suddenly turning his full attention on her, his fury clawing over her skin.
"She stopped taking them on her own, stashing every second one away. She was trying to build up a stash so that she could run away. It was stupid, reckless. How was I supposed to know she had grown so weak? I barely gave her an inch of what was supposed to be our burden to carry before she collapsed."
Isabel jumped up.
"I'm done here."
She was trembling, vibrating anger and grief, half of it hers, half of it his.
"Not so fast."
Braun snatched up the pill bottle, stuffing it into his pocket. Even now, he wasn't going to offer it to her.
"We have to discuss what's happening over the break."
She paused, her back still turned, waiting for whatever he wanted to say.
"I've arranged a surrogate for you. He'll be coming to stay with us."
She met Mikkel's eyes, and he shook his head slightly. It wasn't one of the Alphas.
"Who?"
she croaked.
"Adam Bellamy."
She spun around, her mouth falling open.
"I already have several surrogates. I'm not even friends with Bellamy."
"I don't care who you're friends with, Isabel. I made a deal with Adam's father. It's a Hollywood thing. You wouldn't understand. He's going to step down from the movie role I'm interested in, and in return, you're going to give Adam the bump in popularity he needs before the start of year 3. This is how the business works."
"No."
The word fell out of her mouth before she could even think it through. Braun's honey gold eyes narrowed into slits.
"This isn't a discussion. It's happening whether you like it or not."
He took a threatening step toward her, but paused, seeking out Mikkel again.
I think you've intruded enough, don't you, Professor? This should have been a private discussion between me and my daughter. The matter of my student's safety is a discussion for us all,
Mikkel countered calmly.
And that plan isn't going to work. Did I miss the episode where they made you her new daddy?
Braun gritted out, making a grab for Isabel. She slipped out from beneath his hand. For a moment, he seemed too shocked to move, and then he barreled forward again. But Mikkel was there in an instant, gripping his wrist and twisting it behind his back until the larger man was bent forward and twitching with pain, a grunt vibrating out of his throat. Mikkel's movements were so fast that the whole thing happened in a blur. He released Braun just as quickly, and Isabel found herself blinking at his back as he planted himself before her.
Think you're gonna hook your cart to her cash wagon, eh?
Her father laughed cruelly.
Too bad, Professor. She already has a manager. Signed a contract with him and everything. And she's under my control until she graduates.
The Academy retains the right to intervene where they see fit.
Mikkel's voice was chillingly calm.
Aren't you getting a bit greedy?
Braun asked. Isabel peered around Mikkel to see the smug look overtaking her father's face.
Don't you already have 8 perfectly fit alpha horses in this race? Why don't you leave the silly little Sigma foal to me? Adding her to your roster won't do shit to overcompensate for that god-awful face.
Why don't you shut the hell up for once?
Isabel stepped out from behind Mikkel.
I'm done with your abusive crap. Why don't you watch what you say for once? Why don't you try to talk like an adult for once?
Her father didn't look at her like he was surprised that she was finally learning to stand up for herself. He looked at her like she had plotted out the most annoying thing she could do to stand against him, and had gone ahead and done it just to spite him. She wasn't being strong in his eyes. She was being small. She wasn't making him hear her. She was just making noise, and it was pathetic.
Oh, you're a big girl now.
He raked his eyes over her, his mocking smile growing a vicious edge.
Don't forget who made you, Isabel. And you.
He turned his stare on Mikkel, seeming to grow bigger, his shoulders wider, his expression tight.
I don't know what the little twit promised you, but she has a contract with Cesar Cooper. She already has a manager, a publicist, and an alpha to make all her decisions for her. So you and your boys can get back in line and wait to be called on.
I don't think so,
Mikkel said mildly.
But thanks for the enlightening chat. I think we'll be on our way now.
I'm not done with her,
Braun spat. Isabel's head was pounding. Her father had been pushing his emotions onto her as he usually did whenever she was in his presence. But with every passing minute, the spitting mass of his fury was increasing in size, growing heavy against her chest like a huge boulder weighing against her bones and threatening to cave them in.
I still have to pick her classes for next year.
I'll pick my own.
She tried to interrupt, but he continued speaking like she wasn't even there.
And go through her timetable for the summer break.
Mikkel pulled out his phone, glancing at the screen.
You likely have until the end of the day to submit your proposed timetable and bond care plan to her bond specialist. I will be submitting several alternative solutions within the hour. And just in case you've forgotten, the officials don't like to sit on welfare decisions for very long. They're a waste of time. My plan will be comprehensive.
He moved for the door, and Isabel turned to follow him, but her father's words stopped her in her tracks.
You always were a selfish, manipulative little bitch.
She flinched, and the weight of fury against her chest swelled until it was too much.
She caught a whimper at the back of her throat, focusing on the door Mikkel was holding open, resisting the tears that wanted to break free and funneling all her energy into taking just a few more steps. She just needed to get out of that room. But her father wasn't that kind.
Just like your mother.
Mikkel caught her eye, perhaps seeing the battle in her expression, because he closed his eyes for a second before gritting out a quick warning.
I can't get away with murder today, Carter. Best to ignore him. You get away with murder weekly,
her father snarled. Mikkel only raised a brow in polite question.
Oh?
Isabel turned her head slightly, just enough to take in how her father's face was growing purplish red. He needed to calm down, or else she was going to collapse under the pure weight of his outburst.
You think I don't know why she brought you here?
Braun laughed.
You think I don't know the track team approached her? You think I haven't seen you down there, week after week, putting their own enemies into comas?
He snorted.
Icons aren't just pretty faces, Easton. We're predators, with survival instincts. And if I can beat out hundreds of vicious icons in training without so much as a scratch, then I sure as fuck can outsmart a washed-up alpha who wasn't even selected.
Mikkel smiled, then, the gesture pushing and tugging at the scars marring his face.
Are you trying to goad me into a fight, Braun?
Isabel felt her own lips tugging up on one side, a tiny spark of pleasure shooting through her. It was stupid that it mattered to her at all, but at Ironside, she had become Carter, referred to by her last name just like everyone else. But when she was with her father, he was the one given the respect of formality, and she just became Isabel. Usually, it was normal to give the oldest person in the room the respect of formality, which was why the show referred to Theodore as Cain, even though he was only older by a few minutes, while Moses was always Moses. Mikkel's subtle rearrangement of respect was doing weird things to her insides. The feeling was quickly drowned out as her father took another step toward her. Mikkel immediately moved away from the door, and Isabel forced her legs to work again before a fight could break out. Mikkel caught her elbow, steering her toward the door and depositing her through it, before closing it in her face. She stared at the closed door, and then jerked back a surprised step when what sounded like a massive body was thrown up against it. Mikkel's alpha voice growled clearly through the wood, making her shrink a step back.
If you want to fight me so bad, then submit an application and pay me what I'm due, just like everyone else. Get the fuck off me! The hell is wrong with you, psycho?
Her father barked back, also in alpha voice. Isabel was trembling, even though none of the orders were for her.
I don't think I will.
Mikkel sounded like he was smiling again.
Well now, isn't that something? Mr. Big Bad Icon can't even influence a washed-up alpha. Boo-hoo. You had no chance, boy. Better behave yourself from now on.
A form materialized beside her, so suddenly that she jumped back another step. It was a man, who seemed vaguely familiar, but it wasn't until he sucked the air in through his teeth in an aggravated gesture that she realized who he was. Because that sound pierced a memory deep within her. She tried to grip it, but it filtered away, leaving behind a name. Grandpa? She whispered.
Not anymore,
he grunted, dismissing her as he tried to open the door. His hand passed straight through it, and his face began turning red.
The heck is going on here? I can hear that useless, good-for-nothing son of mine. He hiding from me, is he?
Buddy Carter whirled on her, and then looked around like there might be a tool he could use instead of attempting to try the handle again.
Annoying piece of shit, he muttered.
Isabel had only met him twice that she could remember, but he seemed achingly familiar. Her first memory was of his broad, plum-colored, rage-filled face as they spilled from his house and into the car, leaving in a rush. She had no idea how old she was. She only remembered her mother crying in the front seat, her father's rigid tension, and the feeling of wrongness that pervaded everything. The second memory, he had been sickly sweet, laughing jovially and tossing a present into her lap. Braun had given him some money. She remembered now. He was happy when Braun gave him money, and the calls stopped when the money did. The weight was tossed off the door, and it swung open, giving Isabel a clear view of her father crashing over the sofa and into the coffee table, which, thankfully, wasn't glass. Still, the splintering of wood gave her pause, but Mikkel snapped the door closed before she could hesitate. "Let's go," he said, far too casually for someone who had just called her father boy and tossed him across the room.
"I think it's going to storm, and you need to get to your session with Kaelin."
"Storm because of you?" He quickly spoke over her.
"Yes."
"Why?" She nervously watched as her grandfather looked between them and the closed door before deciding to follow her.
"He can't see me, can he?"
Buddy eyed Mikkel curiously.
"So you can see ghosts, eh, girl?"
She didn't even know he had died. Mikkel punched the button to open the elevator doors and waved her in before him.
"Sometimes it slips out, and I can't help it,"
he explained. "Are you okay?" she asked, trying to ignore the apparition as Mikkel leaned against one wall of the elevator and she propped herself against the other, her arms wrapped loosely around her torso. He didn't feel okay, but she was too sick from her father's influence to properly sort through how much of the anger she felt was left over from him and how much was Mikkel's. His eyes dipped from her face to where she was holding herself, his nostrils flaring slightly.
"Forget about me. What did he do to you?"
"Gave her a bit of discipline, I reckon,"
the apparition of her grandfather grunted.
"Always told that boy taking the Sigma under his wing was a bad idea. Bitches like that are bad news. I only have so many sons for her to run through."
She sucked in a deep breath, closing her eyes and willing the apparition to disappear. "Nothing, really?" She popped her eyes open and gave Mikkel a weak shrug. "Some emotions are just heavier than others. Darker. And with him, I just can't seem to shut him out like I can the rest of you. Mom said all alphas are stronger than our barriers, but he's something else." Buddy harrumphed with pride.
"He's not stronger. He's just conditioned you to be weaker around him."
Mikkel narrowed his gaze.
"Do you believe what he said about your mother? About their bond?"
She dropped her attention to her shoes and kept it there as they walked out of the family center.
Buddy following along like he simply had nowhere better to be.
"You know," she hesitated, her own uncomfortable emotions mixing with the toxic cloud of fury her father had left her with. "I'm embarrassed to say this, but I don't think I've met his eyes enough to be able to tell the minute differences between them and my mother's. I know she definitely had two slightly different shades of brown, but..."
"Are you fucking dumb, girl?"
Buddy laughed at her, a few steps behind them.
"You didn't know?"
She broke off, swallowing back a sudden wave of grief. "I've always thought I have my father's eyes. But if they were truly mated, why have I never thought that I have their eyes?
How would I know which color was his and which was hers?
You must have noticed on some level.
Mikkel agreed quietly.
It's hard to tell from afar, especially if she had eyes like mine. I know people always wonder if I'm bonded when they first see my eyes, even if they don't ask outright. Maybe she had just enough of a variation.
Can't believe I'm still picking up the tab for that useless bitch, even after all these years. Can't even be dead in peace,
Buddy grumbled, forcing Isabel to halt. Mikkel also stopped, his eyes finding hers.
What the hell are you talking about?
She asked, flicking her attention to the apparition just long enough to let him know she was talking to him before she refocused on Mikkel, whose brows had pitched together. Somehow, he was smart enough to keep his mouth shut, also flicking his eyes to the spot she had glanced to.
Oh, now you want to talk to me?
Buddy groused sarcastically.
So honored the Sigma girl has time for the likes of me.
You're an Omega, she shot back. Don't get so far ahead of yourself. What were you talking about just before?
Mikkel let out a low, short whistle.
How long have you been carrying on two conversations?
Not long, she said quickly. But thanks for confirming my theory that the men in Dorm A gossip more than every Omega girl in Dorm O combined.
Oh, great,
Buddy muttered sarcastically.
We're at Ironside. Better call security, girly. I can't even afford a fucking glass of water here. Not even if I drink it from my hands.
Naturally,
was all Mikkel said. Isabel sighed, glimpsing students along the path ahead of them. She needed to wrap this up.
What did you mean you're still picking up the tab for her? Are you talking about my mother?
Karen Hoity-Toity Baker?
Buddy was trying to lean into her sight, his thick brows jumping as he deliberately used her mother's maiden name instead of the name she shared with him.
Carter, Isabel inserted. Karen Isabella Carter. You already know her name, so use it.
My mistake?
Her grandfather stated blandly.
Must have forgotten. It's hard being dead.
So you are dead. And what? Now you're a ghost? A figment of my imagination?
Buddy tisked, wagging his finger in her face.
Those are the questions that got you banned from your mama, girl.
He pulled back, suddenly pensive.
Actually, go ahead and ask him. Then I'll be banned, too.
She was struggling to stay focused on Mikkel.
What are you?
A remnant,
he answered, looking a little confused himself.
Are you real?
As real as remnants can be.
Where do you go when you aren't here?
Elsewhere. Nowhere.
He waved a hand like she was asking stupid questions.
I rest. I sleep. I've earned it. This is the first time my rest has been broken.
Have you seen my mom?
She whispered hurriedly, hearing the group of students drawing closer.
Nah.
Buddy looked up to the sky, like checking what time of day it was.
Don't know how I know I took her place today. I just know it. This really isn't working. Oh, never mind. Yes, I can feel him calling me back now.
Isabel turned her head as he disappeared, searching along the path for any sign of him.
Gone?
Mikkel guessed, after the students had passed by them, shooting Mikkel wary glances. They were probably skipping classes. Isabel nodded, and he started walking again, his pace deliberately slow. Above them, the sky was growing dark, clouds gathering fat and heavy, the wind picking up speed. She was grateful for his pace, because her steps were growing shorter and stiffer, a sharp pain shooting up through her ribs, her face pinching with confusion at his continued silence.
You're not acting at all weirded out by the fact that I'm seeing dead people.
I'd be more surprised if there was nothing more to our abilities than what the officials tell us.
He responded lowly.
There was some quiet chatter back in the San Bernardino settlement around 5 years ago, about a Sigma. Apparently, she was seeing visions of her dead husband, but then the visions changed into other people, and she never saw him again. So she finally killed herself to be with him, thinking he was alive somewhere in some sort of afterworld.
Do the Gifted believe in an afterworld?
Not from what I recall.
Oh. She tried not to sound disappointed. That would have been convenient.
They believe in fragments.
Mikkel shot her a guarded look.
Like memories. Kept alive by the people who knew them, and kept safe by one of their gods. They believe that lighting a candle can bring back one of the fragments on loan from the god who protects it. You can speak to the dead that way. They just don't speak back.
What do you believe? She dared to ask, shooting him a quick, timid look. As much as standing up to her father had given her a wobbly boost of confidence, having Mikkel belittle him and toss him around like a rag doll made the stoic professor far more terrifying than he had ever been before.
I believe it's going to rain, he responded shortly. And this is where I leave you.
They were standing by the doors to the fitness center.
Go straight to Kaelin. No detours.
Okay.
Okay.
One dark brow twitched up. Professor. She swallowed. A flash of lightning and the sudden crack of thunder had her flinching violently. But Mikkel didn't look furious. He didn't even feel furious. She had gained enough distance from her father to be able to tell where all the rage was coming from, and none of it was originating from Mikkel. It was almost like he was directing it all into the sky instead. She reached out like she was going to catch him when he turned away, but he smoothly slid his hands into his pockets, looking at her hand. She pulled it up, tucking a flyaway strand of hair behind her ear just to give it something to do. He didn't say anything, but he was clearly waiting for her to explain why she had almost stopped him.
Is it happening so that I don't have to feel it? She asked quietly.
His gaze flickered upward for just a moment, and the rain started to lightly pitter-patter around them. A short, melodious few notes rang out over hidden speakers all over the academy, signaling the end of the third period.
Yes, Mikkel admitted, sighing slightly. But don't feel bad. The lake could use a top-up.
Then he turned again and stalked off without waiting for her response.
Thank you, she whispered anyway, wishing he had stuck around to accept it.
Chapter 17. Good luck with Oscar. Isabel stepped into the climbing room, surprised to find Kaelin already waiting there, since the fourth period had yet to begin.
Cameras are already off, he told her, stepping around her to hang the session in progress sign on the door, before closing it.
He flicked the lock and then eased back so that he wasn't crowding her as he quickly surveyed her, his broad face clear of any particular emotion.
It didn't go well.
She laughed awkwardly.
It was fine.
The truth, Isabel.
There's a sharpness to his words, a subtle command, but there was no anger brushing up against her from his emotions.
It was awful.
She rolled her shoulders back, trying to loosen some of the tension that held her muscles in such a tight grip. My parents weren't even bonded. There's a special medication that can sustain a tether indefinitely, unless you skip every other day, which my mom did. It seems like she was probably trying to save up enough pills to run away from him. Anyway, that's how she died. She weakened herself so that when he went to dump his usual load of emotional filth onto her heart just stopped. Apparently, I'm selfish, manipulative, and stupid. And I can't even argue with that because who doesn't even notice that the two people she spends every day with don't even have matching eyes?
A person who doesn't make a lot of eye contact.
Kaelin's graveled voice lowered to a gentle hum. He drifted closer and touched her chin, easing her gaze up to his.
a person who has been taught to stay out of the way. That doesn't make you selfish or stupid. And only manipulative people call other people shit like that. You're perfect the way you are.
She scoffed, searching his face for anything resembling humor. But he looked completely serious.
You don't even know me that well, she managed. You can't say that.
I'm an excellent judge of character.
He rolled his eyes, releasing her chin and motioning to the harness hanging on the wall. She immediately put herself through the motions of preparing for their climbing session. It was almost a guilty pleasure, and sometimes she worried that he knew how much she looked forward to him tying that blindfold behind her head. It was strangely exhilarating to hand over complete responsibility for her well-being to someone she trusted, instead of having it forcibly taken away from her by people she didn't trust. It was slowly cleansing her, session by session, instilling a fragile hope inside her that one day she would be able to blindly trust someone outside the climbing room, and they would never let her down, just like Kaylin had never let her slip or fall. He reached out to tighten her harness, and then he spun her around, pulling the blindfold down over her eyes.
You're perfect because you're angry,
he said.
Deep down, that's what you have at your core. A quiet, persistent fury, kicking to get out. But what are you choosing to give people? Measured words, thoughtful gestures, and relief from their ugly emotions. I don't think you have a single bad intention in your body, and I think perfection is all about intention. Because if it depended on action, none of us would ever achieve it.
He was right, of course. But it was harder to apply his words to her, specifically. She wished she felt anything like how he saw her, but it didn't seem real. Maybe he was just used to his volatile alphas, and a quiet sigma was a novelty to him. She waited for his hands to land on her shoulders, to direct her to the wall as his heat crept over her spine, his rich vanilla scent digging into her muscles and forcing them to loosen. But what if I did? She finally responded. Have bad intentions. What if I changed? He leaned closer to her, his hands finally settling over her shoulders, warm and big, his breath tickling the back of her ear.
Even the most perfect girls can be bad sometimes.
She shivered, and then jumped up and down just to try and mask the tremor in her limbs as her body prepared for the climb. Either Kaylin didn't notice, or he pretended not to. He just held on to her as she bounced around for a few seconds, and then he stepped her forward and lifted her hands to the first holds. An hour later, she was sweating and shaking, and her mind was blissfully blank. There was no room for her to agonize over what her father had said or his plans for her summer break, because if she missed a single word Kaylin said, she could hurt herself. When her feet hit the ground again, and she pulled off the blindfold, the sound of the storm outside seemed louder than ever, crashing up against the windows.
Is this okay?
She gestured to the rain lashing the glass on the opposite wall.
He'll be fine,
Kaylin assured her.
It'll ease up before the end of the day. What class do you have next?
Film aesthetics.
You're skipping it,
he said.
They don't have any final assessments, do they?
No.
Good. Give me a minute, then we can walk to my office. We need to sort out your classes for next year.
Kaylin cast another quick glance to the window before he pulled out his phone. The group chat without Isabel had half a dozen messages from the other alphas asking if Mikkel was okay and what had happened with Isabel's father. Mikkel had written back only a few minutes ago, saying,
I'm not going to lie. We have a slight problem. Braun Carter made a deal with Matthias Bellamy to get a movie role.
In exchange, he said Adam Bellamy could stay with Isabel as her surrogate for the summer. He hasn't submitted it as a proposal through any of the official channels yet. I've already submitted 5 separate proposals. One for Isabel to stay with the Canes and the Hudson settlement, since 2 of her surrogates would be available there. And another for her to stay in the Piney Woods settlement with Elijah and Gabriel for the same reason. Even though Elijah isn't one of her surrogates, he still lives with Gabriel. The other options are for her to stay with Killian or Oscar. And finally, the last option is really fucking shit. I'm holding on to it until it seems like they're going to reject all the other proposals. But I've suggested that Theodore, Moses, and Oscar should all accompany her to Vermont to stay with Killian. They went to all the trouble of bringing Eve back to Ironside, so they're clearly hoping for an altercation of some kind, and so far, Isabel has been denying them that. Mikkel, I'm sorry, Oscar. I know home time is crucial for you right now. Kaelin shook his head, checking on Isabel. She had hung up her harness and was picking through her bag for what turned out to be painkillers. She popped 2 of them and then sat down against the wall, tilting her head back and closing her eyes. He flicked through the replies that had come after Mikkel's messages. Moses, I haven't actually submitted an application to be your surrogate. Mikkel, admin, I did it for you. Oscar, the last plan is worse than shit. Why Theo, Moses, and me? Gabriel, for the drama. Theo's secretly in love with her. You're a complete asshole who nobody can figure out the motivations of. And Moses just volunteered to surrogate for the girl his brother is secretly in love with. Theodore, I'm ignoring that. Theodore, why are you letting it storm, Mickey? What else happened? Mikkel, admin. Isabel was overloaded. I had to make sure I was directing all my shit elsewhere. Kaelin, admin. What shit? Mikkel, admin. Her father is an abusive waste of oxygen. There are pills that can sustain a tether without their mate, and they've been around for a long time. The officials have been hiding their existence, probably because they're expensive to produce and the gifted aren't worth the investment. Bronn and Karen Carter weren't even mates. Her anchor died back in the settlement she came from, and she's been using Bronn and the pills to survive ever since. Elijah. That is a lot. Killian. Is Isabel okay? Kaelin, admin. She's on autopilot right now, but she's going to crash tonight. Theodore and Oscar, can you hold off killing each other for a night? Oscar. No promises. Kaelin, admin. Let me rephrase. The only person you touch tonight is Isabel. Comfort the bond only. She needs time to process. Not another sexual encounter to freak out about. And I haven't even spoken to her about birth control yet. Nico. Let me. She's too intimidated by you. She might just agree to whatever you say. Kian. Maybe Teek should do it. Nico. No, I'll do it. Nobody has a better chance of gauging where she truly stands with all of this than me, and I'm sick of entrusting her to everyone else and watching everything go to shit. Killian. Okay, seriously, what the hell? When did you catch feelings for Carter? Like, what the actual fuck is going on here? Nico. I didn't. She's just an innocent girl caught up in all our alpha bullshit, and she needs someone looking out for her who isn't trying to fuck her. Moses. If anything, she tried to fuck me. Kaelin, admin. Moses. Moses. Yeah, yeah, I know I fucked up. Killian. I want to be there too. Kaelin, admin. Killian and Nico. Talk to her together and do it soon. Everyone else? Kaelin. Admin. We need to have a meeting. Elijah. I'll sort out a loop for the cameras tonight. The cleaning crew is usually there an hour before midnight and usually finishes just before midnight. So let's say 12:30? Gabriel. Works for me. Theodore. With Isabel? Kaelin. Admin. Yes. It's time we looped her into the bigger plan.
Her mistrusting us and us mistrusting her has only caused problems. We do this as a team from now on, or we don't do it at all. Nico, shouldn't we vote first about whether we bring her on? Theodore, are you saying no? Nico, my vote is yes, actually. It's not me I'm worried about. Killian, my vote is obviously yes. Elijah, it's the only option. Gabriel, I agree. Kian, it was going to happen anyway. There's no point fighting it. Theodore, it's a yes from me. Kaelin, admin, Mickey and I have already spoken. He's on board. Oscar, Moses. Moses, I can hardly say no after today, can I? Oscar, I can still say no. Moses, but you won't. Oscar, why is that dead man walking? Moses, because you recorded her singing in Mickey's session the other day. Theodore, you know she's good. You know she could be incredible. And you want to win. Gabriel, initially, I couldn't see how adding another person to the plan could be anything less than a burden, but I agree. She could be the piece we didn't even know we were missing. Oscar, or she could be the final straw and we could lose everything. I can't afford to lose everything. I'm Lily's guardian. If I get out of the settlements, so does she. Kaelin, admin, you knew this was coming, Oscar. We've been biding our time, but we can't actually win separate from Isabel. Now, more than ever, we have to do this together. She might not survive without us, and she's as much a victim of this situation as we are. Oscar, I know. Oscar, but if we're finally acknowledging everything, what the hell does that even mean? Theodore said the bond specialist confirmed that sex outside the bond could cause another soul infraction. So none of us can be with her, and none of us can be with anyone else? We're all just gonna fight over her and pretend we aren't fighting over her for the rest of our lives while she tries to take all of our shitty aggressiveness into herself? Elijah. No. We'll figure something else out. Moses. Not even you can make that math work, Elijah. Kian.